This is the M Zone.
And welcome back to the M Zone. Jamie Morris, Matt the Hitman Mizler,
what up,
best
Joe?
Man in the Bizzler, and I got Mr. Unlimited. Boom, boom, Matty Leach. And here he's back. I mean, we're all together. The sweet vanilla cold brew man. My man.
So, dude. Thanks for having me back, guys. Thanks for having me.
Brandon Brown, publisher of the Wolverine Digest of Sports Illustrated. Brandon, I'm feeling good today. You know what? My running back, the running back that I said should be, but I didn't think they would give it to him, but they did. He won top running back in the Big Ten. And I'm talking about Blake Corum. But do you think he really won it? I mean, the kid from Illinois. I mean, I gotta be honest to you. That kid ran his butt off. He was the man. You know what I'm saying?
He's really good. Yeah, Chase Brown is really, really good. I know when they came to Ann Arbor, my coworker Chris was down on the field shooting photos, and he was like, "Dude, Chase Brown is a man." Like, I hadn't really seen him up close and personal, and obviously, he kind of got loose against Michigan a little bit, but that's 1A, 1B. I mean, what do you do? I mean, both of those guys look – you can count on them to salt a game away. You can count on – you can lean on them both. You can give them 30, 35 carries a game. They're both, scoring touchdowns all the time. I think – yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think Blake – did Blake edge him out in touchdowns, or were they about the same? I think he edged him out by maybe one or two. I mean, it was close.
He got him by one. I think he did.
Yeah, by one. And he did it in less carries. I think Chase Brown had 100 or 200 more yards maybe or something, and Blake was obviously dinged up for a game and a half. So, yeah, that's splitting hairs, man. I mean, you're not going to get anybody real angry unless they're wearing orange and blue, that Corum won it, or if Chase Brown would have won it unless you're wearing maize and blue. Like, that's – everybody else across the country would be like, yeah, that's fine. That whichever guy won it, that's cool with me.
Actually, Blake edged out Chase Brown rushing touchdown wise by eight.
Oh, did he? Okay, he had a lot more touchdowns.
The only
that's probably the edge then.
Yeah, the only running back in the Big Ten that had more rushing touchdowns than Blake Corum was Muhammad Ibrahim out of Minnesota.
Oh, that's the kid out of Minnesota.
Well, he was another guy that a lot of people feel like got short stat, the short stick a little bit, but. Yeah, some really good backs in the Big Ten, man. You're not gonna get a lot of people challenging much about the awards for those guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of congestion, but a lot of representation both on the offensive side and the defensive side for the Wolverines. And when that offensive one came out today, seeing so many offensive linemen, seeing the running back on the first team, which I wasn't so sure about with Mo Ibrahim and, like we just said, Brown there as well. I was worried Blake might slip to the second team, but he comes out on that first team. It's like an old school Michigan team, like an old school Michigan year where you see those names littered. And of course, we had the cherry on top with that big win down in Columbus. So just talk about the year overall and then what an exclamation point. This last win this weekend before we dive all into it, because I know we've got a lot to talk about with that one.
Just another incredible, magical ride. I mean, it's like last year, all right, they come out, they go 11-1, the unfortunate loss to Michigan State. But, you win the Big Ten, you get to the college football playoff. It's an incredible year, especially given how everything looked and felt in 2020. And then to think that they actually came back in 2022 and upped it. You lose several first-round guys. Well, technically two first-round guys. David Ojabo would have been a first-rounder. You lose your coordinators on both sides of the ball, including a Broyles Award winner and Gattis. Whether you think Gattis was that good or not, whatever. He still won the award. They still did some nice things on offense. Running the ball was a strength last year. You lose Hassan. You lose a couple linemen. You lose your coordinator. You got a quarterback competition that drags into the second week. It's like, all right, what's this year going to look like? And it's better. It's 12-0. It's perfection. It's beating Ohio State down in Columbus. I mean, it's just it's been a mind-blowing couple of years. I mean, that's about the – I don't have enough I don't have enough adjectives to describe how special 2022 has been.
But your expectations, I mean, Brandon, I remember your expectations were that, were everything you just said. The expectations for this year in 2022, we had them going into Columbus, maybe 10-1, 11-0. That's where we had them going. So your expectations were that high. Mm-hmm. So you were there. You were already there because, look, other than them saying a no-name defense and, you know, calling this, it's going to be better, I'm not going to say we. I'm going to say I felt that JJ was the better quarterback, but I just didn't want to make everybody mad because you're a JJ guy. You're not Cade guy and all of that bull crap that went on. So that being said, you pretty much had this already designed in, well, from us talking, I pretty much said that this team should be either undefeated or one loss. We were looking at the Spartans and saying maybe this game we need to get that out of our head. We need to win this game. That being outside of that, I mean, you can't be that surprised that this team is 12-0 going into the Big Ten championship game. You should be surprised that Purdue's there. I mean,
yeah,
the old standby, Iowa, Wisconsin, Kurt Herbstreit's favor is Nebraska. I mean, other than
you liked them too, buddy.
I like Nebraska because they brought in that
one day kid, you liked them.
That one kid, I liked them because they brought in the Texas quarterback one day and told Miz to write it down. Of course, Miz brings it off and says, "Hey, James, do you remember this?" And I did remember it, though. I did remember it.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about it in like August. Like, all right, Well, Michigan's going to be favored in the first 11 games, like probably, and they were. And the only game they weren't favored in was in Ohio State. And even that one was, well, I don't know what it ended up being, 7 or 7.5, maybe 8, whatever it was.
But you didn't expect a blowout. You didn't expect
I picked them to lose. I'm not going to shy away from that. I mean,
you are a Matt Leach guy. Although he picked him to win this year.
I picked him to win, J-Mo.
I know. I'm giving it to you, but I'm saying to Brandon, how can you do that? How can you? You look at, wait a minute, the defense and the offensive line, the lines were better than Ohio State. You can't say, other than the wide receivers, they had the plus sign. It was even with quarterbacks. Anybody who thought CJ Strauss was that much better than JJ was an idiot. I'm not trying to call you an idiot, but I'm just saying was an idiot because we really haven't let that young man grow because we could run the ball so well. Just saying.
It wasn't any of those things for me. For me, it was Blake Corum hurt, Donovan Edwards hurt, Mike Morris hurt. I mean, Blake Corum couldn't play. If you had said before the game started, Blake Corum's not going to play, everyone would be like, well, there it is. I mean, there it is. And then Donovan Edwards has no hand, and you're like, well, he can't catch the ball. That's his biggest strength. Like, what, you know? What are you going to do? Mike Morris, sack leader. He's clearly dinged up and limping around. Like, I don't know how you could have predicted Michigan to get out of there with a win. And not only did they win, they kicked their ass. I mean, it was not even close. And I know everybody's saying like, well, just the two big play. No, they dominated them in the second half. It was a wrap. It was dominant.
That block of Zach Zinder on the one play that Donovan ran for the touchdown.
Yes.
That was domination.
Yes.
That's classic. Even Jumbo said to me, wow. And then when he says wow about an offensive lineman, he's like, the NFL is about to get them some boys.
Yeah. I talked about it in our podcast earlier in the week. I admittedly, I don't watch the offensive line very close when I'm watching a game. It takes me to go back and look at it again. Both of Donovan Edwards' long runs, Zach Zinner, it was like a clinic, like, yeah. Cut that tape up, put it up, teach every lineman across the country to do it that way. I mean, big double team with Olu to the second level, plows a linebacker out. I think on the 85-yarder, it was just up to the – he's pushing another large, athletic, strong man around like a shopping cart. Like, he's not even – there's no resistance. Wherever he turns his butt, gets him exactly where – I mean, it was
the opposite of Aiden Hutchinson, what he did last year. It was the opposite.
Yes.
clearly.
Oh, yeah. I mean, surprising is probably not the right word, Jamie. You're right. I mean, because we were talking about how good this team could be. And yeah, there were some question marks. What's the quarterback look like? The coordinators, some new guys in some key positions. Can they get a pass rush without Ojabo and Hutchinson? But it wasn't like they were starting from scratch. They had a lot to build on. And let's be honest, I don't think a lot of people thought most of the Big Ten would challenge them, and then they ended up being even worse than we thought. I mean, like, that's a big part of what it was. The win over Penn State was impressive, and now they're a top 10 team, and Michigan beat them by 20-plus and ran all over them. But outside of that, there wasn't many other teams that were going to challenge Michigan this year. I know Illinois played them tough. It just ended up being kind of a cruise, you know, cruise control until Columbus. And, oh, by the way, that one ended up being a 22-point win too. So, like, it was incredible.
It was unbelievable. But like you said, that was – everybody had him picked going 10-1 going into the game. Mm-hmm. But how many people had them winning down in Columbus?
Not a lot.
You know, starting at the beginning of the year all the way through up through this week, like you said, especially with the injuries. So it took some super – you know, we didn't have quite a five – touchdown performance like we had from our guy Hassan Haskins last year, but we had a lot of guys who you can argue that Cornelius Johnson, the first touchdown, was the play of the game. It got everything going. It kept us in it. Mike Zimmerstil with the big defensive pass breakup. Oh, wait a second. He had another one in the end zone too. So many guys that you can go through. You mentioned Zach Zinner on the offensive line. Chris Jenkins, you know, we talk about the headbutt on that one play that was a catastrophic play that sent them back. But Chris Jenkins absolutely dismantling that offensive line, being that far from getting a sack that they had no choice but to hold them. Who do you think had the biggest impact? Who was your MVP of that game on Saturday?
Come on.
I think it's JJ. I think it's J.J. McCarthy hitting some long balls, finally connect. I mean, you know, Cornelius Johnson was running wide open on one of them, but you got to hit him, put it out there, and put it on him. The three touchdowns through the air, another one on the ground, the composure, the, you know, throwing off his back foot, falling down to Cornelius on the first touchdown. That's his first start in that game. I think, okay, we had him on the we sat him down and did a podcast with him, a long interview back in like February of this year. Mm-hmm. And he talked, you know, he wasn't the starting quarterback against Ohio State last year, but he did play a little bit. He got a taste of that. And he said something along the lines of, like, it was him, Donovan Edwards, and Andrell Anthony sitting there together, obviously only freshmen, 1-0 against Ohio State. And JJ said, all we know is beating Ohio State. That's literally all we know. And he's right. A lot of Ohio State people didn't like how that sounded because of what had happened in the previous 15 years or whatever. But for JJ, Donovan, Andrell, that freshman class, that's all they knew was beating Ohio State in Ann Arbor. And they took that confidence on the road and they did it again in Columbus. And JJ did it as the starter. He made big play after big play. He ran the ball. It was everything we had wanted to see kind of all year, with the passing game melding with the running game, a little bit of everything, more keepers for JJ, a little bit more perimeter running for him. And I mean, he became a Michigan legend in one afternoon. So did Donovan Edwards. So did Cornelius Johnson. So did the whole offensive line. So did Colston Loveland, the freshman tight end, you go down the list, man. Mikey Sainer still never will have to buy a beer in Ann Arbor again. I mean, like, all those dudes, man, all of them. But I will go with the young quarterback who's getting his first start in that environment and who's accounted for four big touchdowns.
I'm going to be that guy. Not so fast, my friend.
Oh, let's talk about some running backs. Let's see here.
I mean, no, hey, I'm, not so fast.
No, I'm not going to talk about running backs. I mean, you know the biggest play of that game. You know the guy that was flying around, Mikey Samuels, was flying around making plays all over the place. Unheralded Mikey Samuels, who's still not getting the credit. He made the biggest play of the game, knocking that ball out of that tight end's hand. Before he could grab it and take it down and put that one foot down, he knocked it out of his hands. That right there could have brought that game closer, put that crowd back into going crazy, and everything could have been unfolding. But, I mean, I get it. You went for the low-hanging fruit. And everybody – no, I'm just saying. Everybody can go for the – look, I'm going to say this, and I didn't say I said this Monday, but you guys ignored it. And I appreciate you ignoring it, Matt. But I'm going to say this again. The shoe was on the other foot. Don Brown was on the other side coaching for a Don Brown wannabe, was coaching on the other sidelines, and they zeroed coverage on everybody. Look, you could have threw that ball deep if you had an opportunity. I don't think you could have got it to him when over there for Cornelius Johnson. That was a hell of a throw when he threw that ball over there on that comeback, okay? But Johnson was wide open. He made one step and one move, turned the corner around and went for six. That's, I mean, come on. You could have made that play. Anybody could have made that play.
But I'll say he had opportunities to make those exact plays during the year and didn't. I mean, like, he finally hit on those open throws.
Yes and no, because they played cover two on him pretty much. They were not going to – look, those safeties were almost linebackers during the – they were there to stop the run.
Yeah, no doubt.
They were there to stop the run. And the coordinator couldn't figure it out. Are you serious? Our coordinator, Jesse Minter, came on a blitz one time, got beat deep by Marvin Harris, never ran his safety up there ever again, okay? They got beat three times. Not twice, but three times they got beat. Yeah. He still stayed in the same defense. That's an idiot for that. You went and got a Big 12 defensive coordinator. I don't know why, because the Big 12 does not play any defense. I'm just saying.
Not to mention that kid that got burnt. I mean, legend has it there's still a smoldering pile of body on the field there in Columbus. That dude was burnt, toast, crispy. That's a safety on. Yep. You could make an argument of who Michigan's true number one receiver is, but Cornelius Johnson's in that discussion, and that's a safety. By the way, you guys know who that is, right? That was Cameron Martinez, who played quarterback at Muskegon. Like, he's a safety trying to guard Michigan's arguably 1A, 1B wide receiver, hit him with a pretty simple double move. It wasn't like Cornelius Johnson was out there doing, like, tricks or anything. It was a little out and up, man, and it was it. He got him beat by 20 yards. So, yeah, no – I get it. The magnitude of Mikey Sainristil's play was certainly the biggest of the game, but I think as a collective, I'll go with you. I'll take the low-hanging fruit, Jamie.
You're right, baby. Leading Michigan to a 22-point victory in Columbus, no matter how you get it done. But like you said, with four touchdowns, three through the air, one on the ground, certainly a lot of people's pick, but that's the great thing about this game is that we could go around and we can
pick five other guys. Yeah.
Pick five.
You got so many people to pick from that game alone. I agree with you.
Offense, defense, you can go all around that game. But the coaching staff, that's what I want to talk about with this one. Because, again, what a difference – 2 years makes, because after the COVID year, rightfully so, there were a lot of people who wanted to run Jim Harbaugh out of town, saying that he can't win games specifically like the one that he won on Saturday. And those players made great plays throughout the games. But the coaching staff, the decision to go for it on 4th-and-1 on your own 30 whatever yard line, you know, coming right out of the second half because you feel like we need that score and getting it, the jump pass, the decision to throw the ball deep, even though, like you said, we haven't hidden it, because they were, as Jamie said, begging you, daring you to throw deep. And again, the defense, they do what they've done all year, shut people down in the second half, giving up only 3 points. So we talk a lot about the players, but your thoughts on the coaching staff after this big win and the job that they did.
I mean, back-to-back incredible home run hires by Jim Harbaugh to go get Mike McDonald last year, then lose him, and then get a guy like Jesse Minter, who I had questions about. I mean, I did. I was like, I don't know about this guy.
Mike Elston was a huge.
That's another big part of it. I mean, there's multiple. Thrown more, you know, running the O-line and being part of the, you know, the play calling brain trust. I've never been a big fan of the group play calling, but when you've got guys that are into it for that reason and, you know, who are invested in the O-line and you want to play like Michigan plays, it worked.
Right.
And so, yeah, I think the – the hiring of Minter, the hiring of Mike Elston, you know, getting guys involved. I mean, even like a Jay Harbaugh, unsung. He bounces all over the place, and his groups do well everywhere he's at.
Are you hearing the same thing that I'm hearing, Jay Harbaugh to Western? Are you hearing this?
I hadn't heard that. That's interesting, though.
It's being talked about. I've been everybody's texting me saying, "Hey, Jay Harbaugh to Western." I'm like, "What?" They were like, "It's Jay. It's running." I don't mind it. It's the Swiss Army knife of Michigan football. He knows every position.
Yes.
And he's a special teams coach. That's what's important. He knows every player, everybody on the team. So
he's got a really good demeanor for that too. I know he's young. I think he's younger than Wyatt. Yeah. He's got a really good demeanor. Jamie, did you ever throw a pass? Did you ever throw a jump pass like that?
I wish I'd thrown a jump pass other than trying to run the sweep and throwing it down the field. I can't see over everybody, so I threw that mug out of the mouth.
One attempt, 0-for-1.
Just one.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's one of the biggest credits to Jim Harbaugh since 2020 is just the, I mean, rolling of the dice. You know, he brings a guy like Mike McDonald in who's never been a DC before, and he killed it. You know, fostering Josh Gattis again, whether you think, I actually thought like Mike McDonald could have won the award over Josh Gattis last year. That
I thought Mike McDonald was going to win.
Yes, that's so
over Josh Gattis. And I mean, nothing against Josh Gattis because a great year. He had a great year, but I thought Mike McDonald came in, even when he had his blip in East Lansing, he rekindled himself, got it going, and that defense finished strong.
Yeah, so you've got then you followed up with hiring Minter. You mentioned Elston. You shift some guys around a little bit. You know, musical chairs on the staff doesn't always work, and it freaking worked to perfection. I mean, like across the board, you can name every. And it was awesome to hear Jim Harbaugh say that he actually nominated Ben Herbert for the Broyles Award, which he's not even like eligible for. But like, I know it's incredible. It's a
proven factor. That team is stronger, much stronger than they were 4 years ago.
Yep,
4 years ago.
I mean, it's you go top to bottom. It's a staff that's probably going to get picked over again because it's so good. I mean, that's the bummer of having such good people at such good at important spots.
Now he knows what he's looking for now.
There's no
doubt. He knows the secret sauce.
He's got a formula. Yes.
Right. He knows the secret sauce. That's what you got to live with.
Yep. That's interesting. Oh, Jay Harbaugh to Western. Okay, we'll keep an eye on that one.
I'm just letting you know.
That makes sense for too many reasons, but like you, or so many reasons, but like you said, Brandon, this is the price of success. When you win, you're going to have players leave early. You're going to go to the NFL. You're going to have players transfer because they're looking for, because they can find other opportunities, other places. You're going to have coaches get poached each and every year, and it's things that are difficult to deal with, but something if we want to keep the ball rolling, which like it seems like we are, it's something that we're gonna have to deal with.
That's, you know, it's well, it's not really new to Jim Harbaugh either. He's had quite a bit of turnover year to year with his staffs, whether for good or bad. I mean, there's been a little mix of both, but he's had to replace guys pretty much every year, and that happens at all the big schools. I mean, guys are, you know, trying to climb the ladder, move up to the next best spot, get more money at another spot. I mean, that's part of the game. But yeah, it's when you're winning like this, it happens even more.
But these guys get along. These
very
guys,
well.
They love each other. They are a cohesive unit. Talking about the coaching staff, I'm not talking about. I know what the team is. They bought in. That being said, it's that coaching staff. And you're right. You're going to lose people because they're good coaches. I mean,
yeah.
If I'm Jerome Moore, I am not looking at Colorado. No, run, danger, Will Robinson, danger.
Let Deion
go there.
A middling to lower program in a crumbling conference. Yeah, no thanks. You can, Sharon Moore can do better than that. Yeah, exactly. He was the next name I was gonna say. I mean, he's probably, I don't know, he probably could hold off for something better than Western Michigan.
No, like, you're right. That's the truth. I mean, he could get a power five. He could get a power five.
That's a group, man.
Two more years, he's top of the list of the power five.
Oh, that without a doubt. Yeah. Without a doubt. I'm just telling you. I'm going to guarantee you this. Three coaches will be gone from that staff. Ooh. Just saying.
Yeah.
What are you not telling us, J-Mo? What do you know? What's going on,
man? I don't know anything just yet. I'm just saying, I look at that staff. There's some guys. I'm going to tell you two guys that should never leave. You can't let them leave. You got to lock some people down, too. Mike Hart should never leave. Ron Bellamy should never leave. I'm just telling you. Mike Elston should never leave. And they all have a common denominator, too. But those players love those coaches because they've been there before. They've lived it. They know. And they articulate it to these players, and these players get it.
Seems like, I mean, Bellamy's new to it. Obviously, he's been done at a high level in high school. But all three head coach aspirations, you think, Jamie? Those three guys?
Yeah. Exactly. I'm just saying. That being said,
not everybody on the staff has those aspirations.
That's probably true. I mean, it's probably rare for
this guy, that guy. The list goes on and on.
It's probably rare for guys to not want to get to that point. But there are some coordinator lifer dudes who just that's their job and they crush it. But I think a lot of those guys at Michigan, you know, want to get their hands on their own program and could do it. They got a lot of really
and
sharp.
And they're good enough to do it is the thing. Yep.
Brandon, it show is fun doing this. I had a great time. I just wanted to let you know. I looked up and said, "Good God, we ran that quick." Jeez.
it goes quick, man. It goes quick. You talk about 12-0 all day long.
That's
all exactly. day long.
Yeah, that's look. It answered the question that I always ask people: who's the better team, 21 or 22? Well, you see this. You see it, don't you?
Hard to argue.
But they got to finish the job, as JJ said. Got to finish it. That being said, thanks, Brandon Brown, for being a part of it. We really enjoy you. You are the team. I feel
Miz, sad. Boom, boom, J-Mo. Appreciate you guys, man.
Appreciate you too, buddy.
Thanks, Brandon. Again, Brandon Brown. Publisher of the Wolverine Digest of Sports Illustrated. Check it out. Excited. All right, we need to go to a break. Hey, it's the Matt and Matt show. They'll have the question of the day.
Daddy,
and all
chill.
The things. I got to go be a daddy, and I did a bad thing.
Daddy,
I
chill.
The whole cookie thing I've been giving him. I've been giving him one, and then he just took the bag and ran.
Daddy, chill.
We were J-Mo. Messing up on that daddy duty. Come on, man.
Daddy, chill.
Thanks. I'll talk to you guys later. It's been, hey, tomorrow. Got to come back tomorrow. We'll have a good day. See you guys tomorrow. You're listening to The M Zone, the premier show.
Named one of the best personal finance podcasts, The Stacking Benjamin Show with Joe and his friends makes financial literacy fun.
Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Squirrel watching.
You heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam. Spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to.
Find out more by searching The Stacking Benjamins podcast wherever you listen.